T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Great to be here with you guys. Hump Day edition of the show. Feeling much higher energy than I did yesterday. More congested today than I am yesterday. So it's hard to figure out, kind of, are you getting better? Are you getting worse? But the energy's improved from yesterday. Weather changes, man, really throwing me for a loop. But I'll tell you what I'm excited about. Like, your first time through the seasons when you have bad allergies always blows. And now I've been through 365 days of this place. So I've built up, hopefully, immunity for whatever you got for me, South Carolina, Mother Nature. Give it to me. Give it to me, baby. What do you got?
Really? You're a guy who's had to have a gallbladder out. You've had flu. You've had pneumonia. Do you really want to go at Mother Nature?
No,
you go right ahead.
No, I probably don't. That's probably not a good idea. In other news, I will officially be out sick tomorrow. No. No, I don't want to go at Mother Nature because, dude, she's throwing us for some mad loops right now. Really. I mean, with the, you know, wasn't it 70 degrees last week?
It was.
70 degrees last week, and you're waking up to 26 today. Right?
It's not really unusual around here. It's not. And it could be a whole lot worse. It's not snowing. I mean, there are things that could be a whole lot. You could be up north where it's pretty bad.
You know, nobody knows this, Lonzo, but I had a moment last year when I started where I was figuratively having a heart attack. It was the day where they had made an appointment for me to meet the entire sales team, and they had the whole sales team in one of our big conference rooms here. And I was going to get up and do a mini, meet and greet and a little presentation about who I am and where I came from and all that stuff. Lonzo, I go out to my car, okay? And because I live 8 minutes from the station, I did what any smart person would do. And I left. I was supposed to be here at 9 a.m. I left at 8:50, right? That's what any smart person would do. I get to my car, Lonzo, and I hadn't. No matter where I've lived, since I've been driving, I haven't seen this. There is a whole layer of frost on my car, right? That's stuck on my windshield. And I'm like, oh, dear God, what am I going to do? Because I hadn't left any time to remove that, nor, Lonzo, do I know how to remove that, okay? I don't know how to remove that. So I go into my car and I put the windshield wipers on, and that's doing a whole lot of nothing, right? And then I'm trying to use my bare hands and peel away, but I'm only able to peel away a tiny little line, and my hand feels like it's going to fall off from the cold. So, Lonzo, straight up, I made two holes about the size of grapes in the frost, and I was literally driving with that, okay? It was like I was wearing a Zorro mask driving to work. I don't know what the statute of limitations on that is, nor do I still know how to get that frost off my car, but any tips that you have for the ignoramus of this show known as Mark Ryan is greatly appreciated.
You know, back in the day, if you had cassettes or if you had CDs, and I doubt you have either one in your car. Do you have CDs in your car?
I do have CDs, yeah.
If you take a CD cover, you can use that to scrape your eyes.
That is brilliant.
Yes.
That is really brilliant. This is information. This is ingenuity that I desperately needed on January 22nd, 2019. The problem is it's being shared with me on January 22nd, 2020.
Oh, there's a good shot that we still may get some frost or some ice or something before. We're still in winter, so it's still a possibility. So if you get in that position, you can use that and you can get it off of there. Or you can plan ahead and start your car, a little bit early, although I don't know exactly if that's a good thing to leave your car running with you not
in
it.
Yeah, I don't really like that idea too much as well.
Or you could go to Walmart or something and buy a scraper. And just leave it in your car.
You need that. They're
very cheap, but you can get one less than $5 and just leave it in your car under your seat.
By the way, the more you know, PSA brought to you by Mark Ryan. I think everybody should have a window breaker in their car in the event you ever find yourself in a body of water. I have one of those in my car because I have no plans of drowning in my vehicle. You know, so I would highly recommend that.
I have no plans of driving through high water. So, I mean,
neither does anyone who ends up in it.
Well, some people are not very bright, and they, well, I can get through that. My truck can get through anything. Anyway,
more people died in Houston from that, Lonzo, than anything, because Houston floods with rainstorms, right? And so they have to put these gauges in the road to show you what the level of the flooding is, right? And you can't tell it by the naked eye. So people drive right to their death because they drive right underwater. They don't realize how deep the water is. It's horrifying back there. But anyway, that's my PSA for the day. I want to get to this. You know, I'm a guy who believes that when we cease getting better, we cease being good, and that we should always continuously strive for improvement. We won the award for the best show in the state of South Carolina last year, and I wrote down 10 different ways that I can improve as a host for this year, and I hope that you hear them, and I hope that you guys feel like the show continues to grow and continues to improve and continues to be a big part of this community. But I'm always the day that you have no way of improving is the day that that I feel like you retire from this business. One of the best things about this business to me is that you never master it. You know what I mean? Like, you can try to have a perfect show, but what makes a show perfect are the imperfections. It took me a few years to learn that. I was being too serious. I was taking myself too seriously. And, you learn that about doing a radio show. You can never master it. You can always be improving. You can always be getting better. You can always becoming a better storyteller, a better topic developer, a better engager with your audience. There are so many different ways you can improve in this field. And I feel like college football, by and large, is in a pretty good place. But I'd like to ask you guys in this segment what college football can do to improve itself for the 2020 season. Taking your thoughts, taking your calls at 1-844-477-3776. That's 1-844-GSP-ESPN is the number to join us on the show. We do have people chiming in via Twitter attacking me about saying Happy New Year to people on January 22nd. So we have that going on. Michael Stathakis says, Happy Holidays, everybody. But certainly if you are a fan of the sport of college football, for among all of us, there are examples of items that could be changed in your opinion to best improve the sport. 1-844-477-3776 is a number to join us on the line. My ideas, and we'll get to Lonzo's ideas here in a second. I believe that the group of five should have a chance to get into the playoff. But I don't believe you necessarily need to expand the playoff to do it. My idea is to keep a four-team playoff and to have the best group of five team play the four seed for the right to be in the playoff. You don't have to play the playoff. Imagine what that would do for college football, knowing that the Charlottes and the UABs of the world have a shot to make the college football playoff if they are the best group of five team. I mean, what would be the harm? Don't you think this year we saw Memphis go against Penn State? Penn State may have beaten Oklahoma. We don't know, right? Oklahoma was the four seed in the playoff. Penn State beat Memphis. I think the score was 53-39. But Oklahoma and Memphis may have been a competitive game. You know, and we saw UCF beat Auburn a few years ago. We saw UCF stay competitive with LSU and Joe Burrow last year in their bowl game. So, you know, I just firmly believe that the group of five teams should enter the season feeling as though they have a chance to win a national championship, as much of a snowball's chance in hell as it is. I believe that chance should be there. What do you think of that idea? You keep a four-team playoff, but you have the best group of five team play the four seed the week of the Army-Navy game for the right to be in the actual college football playoff. That's one idea that I have to improve college football. I also think it's high time, Lonzo, that every Power 5 team play 10 Power 5 teams. I don't think you can legislate that every conference has to play 9 conference games. I don't think you can legislate that. But I do believe that you can mandate that each team plays 10 Power 5 conference teams. And I think that would create far fewer boring games that nobody wants to see. I think that would level the playing field significantly among schedules. That would help out Clemson, that mandate, because Clemson really does a good job of trying to do that every single year anyway. But to mandate that across the board, I think would be a very, very good thing for college football. And then again, amending in some way to be in agreement with Dabo Swinney, the transfer portal, which is making college football free agency. A lot of people argue that it's what's best for the kids. And what about what's best for the kids? You know, I don't want to poo-poo the kids' rights and what's best for the student athletes, but I think more about the health of the sport. And I don't believe that college football was ever supposed to be the NFL or professional sports as it pertains to free agency. Lonzo, any ideas that you have to improve the beautiful sport of football?
I think the main thing is to make the playoffs bigger. And I liked...
You want to expand the playoffs. Yeah, that lessens the importance of the regular season.
Early on, you had another way that you wanted to expand, and I liked it better, and that was six teams, not eight teams. I like that. I like having buys for the number one teams. But so conference champs, I think, get in. And then as far as the six team, what you're talking about having a group of five playoff, I think they have that playoff to be the six team, and then they would play whoever. So six would play three and four would play five.
The problem with doing that, Lonzo, is like this, okay? What happened to Georgia after they lost to LSU in the SEC championship game? Do you remember?
No.
Okay, Georgia was fourth. They fell to fifth when they lost the SEC championship game. If you have a 16 playoff, Lonzo, the SEC championship game in the national championship picture means nothing that year. Means nothing.
I disagree. If you win the championship, you're in. If you lose, you're out. And that's just too bad.
No, Georgia lost and they were fifth. In your 16 playoff, they're in.
You're right.
You see what I'm saying? So I don't like games that
meaning. No. Only conference champs would be in. And then the sixth would be the other teams, all those guys playing to get that six.
So you would have five conference champions in the best group of five?
Yes.
That would be your chance. Realize then you might have some years where you have a Virginia that upsets a Clemson in the championship game, and now you got an unranked Virginia playing in the playoff.
So then you have the team that's playing the best at that time getting to move on. I don't have a problem with that.
Check on the text line. Mark, it's not even cold yet, brother. Hang your head out the window. let's see. NCAA football needs to ditch the targeting rule, Mark Ryan, and the subsequent penalty. They never get it right, and you lose your player for the next game. It is absolutely positively terrible. Amend the targeting penalty to a personal foul. Targeting is nonsense. Agree or disagree?
Disagree. And listen, my team suffered for it, and so did Clemson. Both teams, in successive weeks, they suffered because of it. But if you don't make this thing such a harsh penalty, you're going to get more and more targeting because guys are going to be like, well, I'm just going to get a personal foul. It's not that big of a deal, so I'm going to hit them as hard as I can. It has to be the harshest penalty possible in order to try to stop this from happening.
We have a tweet coming in from Jared, but he's not following us yet, Jared. So remember the policy, Jared. If you follow us, we will get to your tweets live and on the air at ESPN Upstate, at Lonzo on Word, at Mark Ryan on Air. Taking your suggestions to improve the sport that we know and love of college football here today on the show, 1-844-477-3776. Ideas are like babies. Everybody loves their own. I love my idea of not expanding the playoff, but having the best group of five team play the four seed the week of the Army-Navy game for the right to get in to the college football playoff. That would expand the quote-unquote playoff by one team, and it would be only available to group of five teams, so that therefore all 130 teams would enter a season knowing that they have a chance to win the national championship. However small it may be, every single team would have a chance, and I think that's incredibly important in this sport. I really, really do. All right, coming up next on the show, I've got to get back to this Hall of Fame discussion and what it meant to Derek Jeter and kind of the fallout from the Hall of Fame votes. We'll get to that next. This is Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. It is great to be here with you guys. Matthew has been hanging patiently on the line and wants to chime in on some college football changes. Let's see here. We got a texter that says expanding would be pointless. The Power Five should have the toughest strength of schedule every year. Let teams earn their rankings. The problem with letting teams earn their rankings by strength of schedule is the games are scheduled years in advance. So you could think you're scheduling a great opponent by scheduling Alabama in 2035, and then Alabama sucks that year. And then you're going to penalize a team for something they can't control. I was very critical of Miami earlier this week because their schedule has been released. There's not one top 25 team on it. And in the non-conference, Miami plays UAB, Temple, and Wagner, as well as Michigan State. Credit for scheduling Michigan State, but if you schedule Temple, Wagner, and UAB, that tells me you're not making an effort.
Where the heck is Wagner?
I have no idea what that even is.
Okay.
That's a last name. It's not a school. Matthew's on the line right now. Hey, Matthew, what's up, bud?
Hey, how you doing, Mark?
Happy New Year, Matthew.
Happy New Year. Wagner, by the way, because a friend of mine was quarterback for Wagner. They're a college up in the New York area.
Fantastic. Thanks for letting me know. Appreciate it.
No worries. Okay. I agree with Lonzo. I mean, I like the sixth playoff team, and I hear where you're coming from in regards to this specific situation. But when you asked, well, what did Georgia lose and what did the other team gain by that SEC game? Well, the SEC winner was guaranteed to get in, whereas you correctly said the other team fell to five, but if they fell to seven, they wouldn't have been.
Yeah, so but they weren't gonna fall to seven, Matthew. They weren't going to fall to seven. As a matter of fact, the committee said that Georgia was the only other team in contention with Oklahoma for that fourth spot. So, you know, like you basically have an SEC championship game with a conference championship on the line, but nothing of national ramification. That's what happens if you expand the playoffs. And the beauty of college football is that every game is a playoff. Georgia and LSU was a playoff game. Georgia lost and they're out. That's the beauty of the game.
Yeah, no, I agree with what you're saying. What I mean is that in this one situation, that worked, but there might be another situation where a team does fall to seven. So that's the reason why that game would be important. So, I mean, I just think the more people that you have in there, you know, the better it is. I think it's inevitable.
Wait. What do you mean the more people you have in there? A 32-team playoff is better?
A 16 playoff is better than a four.
Okay, yeah, 16 playoff. But don't try to sell me on 16. Don't do that.
No.
Okay? Don't do that. I have no interest in that.
What I also want to mention, if it's okay, really quick, is you also mentioned the college portal.
Sure.
And I humbly disagree with you on that.
Sure.
I have two thoughts.
Okay.
My thought is this. The first thought is coaches do it all the time. They've been doing it forever. Coaches have decided after they signed a contract or after they made a commitment and they swore they were going to stay there, that when a better opportunity came along, they left. And they've been able to do that.
Okay, can I comment on that one? Can I comment on that one?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so yes, sir. I spoke to the Board of Regents and the owner of the Houston Rockets, Tillman Fertitta, when they were trying to hire their next head coach, and they ended up hiring Major Applewhite, and I wanted them to hire Lane Kiffin. And I asked him, what did you tell Lane? What did Lane Kiffin tell you? Because the reputation he has is that he's gone at the first job opportunity. And he told the Board of Regents member, Lane Kiffin did, that you can put any buyout you want. If they hire him, he will not leave. Make the buyout $50 million, $500 million. So I would say, Matthew, I don't like what the coaches are able to get away with. I would say hold the coaches to a higher standard. I don't think that means we should have free agency among players in college football.
It doesn't, but there's a better argument for the kids being able to do it than the coaches. And that argument is this. When, let's just say, Joe Smith, a fictional character, he goes to Clemson, and he's under a certain quarterback. And then a year later, Dabo Sweeney recruits a different quarterback, and then maybe the next year a different quarterback, and then that kid is saying, wait a second, I really thought I was going to have an opportunity to play here.
Yeah, but Matthew, be better than the competition. Be better. Get better. Be the best guy. Why are we afraid of competition nowadays?
It's not being afraid of competition. It's just saying that, hey, they've got maybe the best quarterback, you know, in the entire country. I could be the fourth best quarterback in the country and never see the field. And I want to see the field. I want to have a chance to improve my life and maybe be in the NFL. And if you say, once I commit to a college, I can't do that, I'm not sure that that's fair. That's how
okay,
I feel.
Matthew, I understand. I understand, Matthew, but I would just say I prefer the transfer rules before the transfer portal. And I don't like, and we'll get more into this in the next hour. I think there's something societal going on at play here that I'll reveal at 5:20. Matthew, thanks so much for the phone call, bud. Do appreciate it. Let's get to Connor, who's up next. Connor, thanks so much for the call. Happy New Year, Connor. How are you, bud?
You too, man. Glad you're feeling well. I'm back in the office.
Man, it's good to be back. Thank you.
Good. So I was listening earlier this week. I think maybe it was last week. I don't know. You were saying South Carolina's schedule next year. You were going through the schedule, and you were like, Georgia guaranteed loss, Florida guaranteed loss. You know, some of these schools you're saying, I mean, LSU guaranteed loss.
Yeah. They have four guaranteed losses. There's four.
But why are they guaranteed? Georgia was a guaranteed loss this year, and we won it, and I don't think they're any better next year. I mean, I think that guaranteed loss is a little strong for some of those games, especially Florida. I mean, I know you're a Florida guy, but I just don't think they're guaranteed.
Okay, that's fair. I think that's fair, and you could make a point and say, hey, look, if you can beat Georgia, I just think that the loss for Georgia, you made up for that win with losses against Tennessee, UNC, and Appalachian State.
And
right.
By the way, LSU, how is that a guaranteed win? Because who's the quarterback for LSU?
Because it's at LSU.
Yeah, but they've lost a ton of people.
Who's your quarterback for crying out loud? Do you know?
Yeah, we don't know.
For what team?
Your team.
Which team?
South Carolina.
Remember, I have two teams.
Yeah. Yeah, is it Doty? Is it Helinski? Who is it? Helinski regressed over the course of the season. So is that the main point that you wanted to make, Connor? That you're taking me to task over the guaranteed L's?
Well, I just didn't have a chance to call the other day.
Okay.
I was in traffic, and you went to another segment. But I do want to say I agree with you on the transfer rules, though. I liked them way before this transfer portal stuff. I think it's ridiculous they can find the smallest reasons to let these guys go from one school to another and play immediately. It just doesn't seem fair.
Yeah, I agree with that, Connor. Any other changes that you would like to see in college football? Do you like my idea of the playoff that you keep it as four, but you have the best group of five team that gets to play the four seed for the right to be in the playoff?
I like that. I like a play-in game, but I wouldn't mind a six where one and two get to sit for a week and then the other four play it out. I think that'd be cool too.
Yeah, I mean, that's Lonzo's idea as well.
Yeah, So that's it. I mean, maybe get rid of the onside kick like they're doing in the Pro Bowl. That'd be kind of fun, where it's like a fourth and 15 for a chance to get the ball back.
Yeah, I think fourth and 10 is hard enough. Why not?
Yeah, I agree.
Right? I mean, fourth and 15 is kind of brutal there. Connor, thanks so much for the call, bud. Do appreciate it. 1-844-477-3776. 1-844-GSP-ESPN is the number to join us on the show. All right, coming up next on the show, I'm going to tell you the South Carolina hoops team with the very best chance of making the NCAA tournament. This is Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Great to be here with you guys. A hump day edition of the show. So, you know, you're looking at the lay of the land right now in college basketball, and Clemson, you know, all kudos, got a much needed win last night over Wake Forest. You don't make your season with a win over Wake Forest, but you can ruin your season with a win over Wake Forest. Clemson came in at 9-8. A loss would have seen them fall to 9-9. Clemson has only made 39% of their free throws the last two games in ACC play. You don't use the All Cupcakes moniker for basketball because the ACC has been one of the best basketball leagues in the country. Florida State's great this year, might be the class of the conference. Virginia has taken a huge step back. No surprise there. They lose DeAndre Hunter and other key pieces of that team. And North Carolina's in the toilet bowl this year in terms of their overall caliber of play. They've spent some time in the cellar of the ACC this year. But, you know, you look at the slate ahead for Clemson here, and you've got at Louisville coming up this weekend. That is going to be brutally tough. Then you have Syracuse at home. Then you get this same Wake Forest team on the road, and you're saying to yourself, okay, in this four-game stretch, you've got to win three out of four to give yourself a shot at getting to the postseason. The way this basketball team is playing, no doubt about it, they're trending up. They are trending up. You beat Duke. I mean, who has a better resume game than that on their schedule than Clemson being able to beat Duke at home, fighting for their tournament lives? They also won at North Carolina for the first time ever. And if the team sucks, as North Carolina does this year, you're not beating the team, you're beating the program. And to beat the program, that's a great thing. We've seen Clemson lose home basketball games to the likes of Wake Forest before, and the fact that Clemson is now rising up and finding ways to win that game, I think they were down by 7 points at halftime, shows that the team is growing, that the Clemson basketball team is trending up, shows that Brad Brownell is trending up. But I still come down, ladies and gentlemen, with this edict, and I'm curious if you feel this is fair or not. Make the tournament this year or you're out of a job, Brad. No offense. And, you know, Clemson will keep this under wraps. Clemson is all about the family. I love that about them. I think it's an incredible vibe. But the reality of the situation is two tournament berths in 10 years should not be good enough for you. If it is good enough for you, you have the right coach. If it's not good enough for you, you might need a different one. And, you know, Brad Brownell was honored last night. They gave him a commemorative basketball. Dan Radakovich, who I've had the privilege of meeting, is by all accounts a wonderful guy, a great human being, and, you know, seems like a wonderful guy to work for. I've interacted with him over email, and he's just an incredibly affable, likable guy. At some point, though, you have to ask yourself, is this what we want to settle for at Clemson in terms of our basketball program? Why is it that half of our fan base claims Duke as their favorite basketball team? Because you haven't given them reason to cheer for your own team over the years in college hoops. Folks, I believe the team with the very best chance to make the NCAA tournament in the state of South Carolina plays right up the road. I think it's Furman. Furman is 15-5. They're projected to finish the season 23-8. Should they win their conference tournament, obviously they get in, and obviously they have to do so to make it. But right now, Furman is listed as having a 19% chance to make the tournament. College of Charleston is listed as having a 22% shot to make the tournament because they play in a weaker conference and they might be the favorite to get through in that conference. But the reality is, you know, they're 12-6 right now on the season. Clemson has a 12% chance to make the tournament as of today. A 12% chance. I hear Jim Carrey in my head saying, so you're saying there's a chance. You know, Lonzo, look, you and I delve really deeply into college basketball when we get to March Madness. You know, South Carolina tonight has a game at Auburn. It's a great time to be getting Auburn because Auburn's lost consecutive games. They've fallen from 4th to 16th in the top 25 poll. They've had back-to-back losses to Alabama and my alma mater, Florida. But tonight, the Gamecocks are on the road, and they don't have the services of starter Keyshawn Bryant, which hurts them tonight. And again, trying to get a second signature win. You beat Kentucky. Can you beat Auburn on the road? These two teams fighting for their playoff lives. I find, you know, given the long odds for each of these teams to make the postseason, I find the most interesting conversation to be the plight and the future of the head coaches. Now, Brad Brownell, to me, has done nothing to warrant continued employment if he can't make the postseason this year. And I think with Frank Martin, you have to begin to wonder if you're a South Carolina fan, is the message getting lost? Now, you've heard me say that if you make a Final Four at a place where they've never made a Final Four, you can basically sign your name to a lifetime contract. And I do believe Frank Martin is a heck of a coach. I'm just not sure if the message is resonating in Columbia, South Carolina. I'm not sure if the message is resonating anymore. Lonzo, you know, what sort of rope should South Carolina have with Frank Martin? Do you give him the lifetime contract to make the Final Four? Because since that time, they've been incredibly mediocre after that.
I think he stays as long as he wants to stay. And we've had this discussion before, and I don't think it's changed, that the expectations for both teams as far as basketball goes, they're just not there. They're not. They're football and baseball schools. They don't care about basketball as much. He got them somewhere that no one thought he would be able to get them there before, and that was Frank Martin. And it was even more awesome that it happened in the upstate of South Carolina at the Well. That made it even better because it's basically in the backyard. And I think that he can live off of that for a while.
Well, he is living off it for a while.
I know.
The problem is we're not seeing an improving program. We're seeing a meddling program. And, you know, like, gosh, I'm asking because I'm honestly confused. You know, I would say, man, you just saw the trajectory of South Carolina basketball when they went to the Final Four, and you thought to yourself, this team is becoming a power. And then after that, they've fallen right back to where they were before Frank Martin even got there.
See, I don't think so much because during that season, I think it was a big shock. They were not supposed to be there. So I don't know if people thought there was upward momentum. We're there this year. We're going to be there the next year. I'm not so sure it was that way. I think it was a shock. It was a Cinderella story. And I think then everything went back to normal. What's expected at the school is just, yeah, we might make it. We might not.
Can we define expectations at Clemson in South Carolina as it relates to college basketball? Can I open up the phone lines to you guys at 1-844-477-3776? Can we define what the expectation should be? I fight with Florida Gator fans about this all the time because, you know, Florida Gator fans are upset about our basketball coach, Mike White. He should be fired. We're meddling. Florida lost to LSU last night. Both are kind of borderline top 25 teams. It was on the road at LSU. They lost 84-82. Florida plays the number one team in the country, Baylor. Coming up here soon, they get Baylor at home, which is a great opportunity for the Gators. But I fight with Gator fans all the time about this because Florida's a football school. You can't say you expect Florida to be a Final Four program year in and year out, Duke or Kentucky in college basketball, because it's a football-first school. And it is true that Florida was the only school to be top 10 in football and top 10 in basketball at one point this season, but I always say with Florida, the expectation should be to make the tournament. If you win a game in the tournament, you've had a good year. If you make the Sweet 16, you've had a great year. And anything beyond the Sweet 16, you've had a historic year. Right? That is my definition of success for my basketball program. Expectation, make the tournament. Good year is win a game in the tournament. Great year is make it to the Sweet 16 and beyond. What should the expectation level be for Clemson and South Carolina basketball? You know, what should be the bare bones expectation? Because, folks, I think, you know, it's different than Florida. Florida, Billy Donovan, two national championships, four Final Fours, right? Florida's established itself as a step up now, as a better program. But I think a good season for Clemson and South Carolina is to make the tournament. And I think that should be recognized as a good season. I think that should be the expectation. But if you can't do that every year at Clemson and South Carolina, well, you know, as a radio show host, how many good years out of five should I expect to have if I want to keep my job? Three? If I have three good years out of five, do I get to keep my job as a sports radio show host? If I have three good years out of five, what should the expectation be for Clemson and South Carolina in terms of their college basketball programs? Let's get to Ryan, who's up first on the show. Ryan, thanks so much for the call, bud. You're offsides, Ryan, and Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year to you, and thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
As a huge Clemson fan for all my 48 years of life, I bleed orange, all that good stuff. Clemson basketball expectations is low. I mean, why in the world would Brian Mell be there for as long as he's been there if it's high expectations? I think in order at Clemson, it's football, baseball, and then basketball. I mean, it is what it is. It's a football school. If we cared anything about basketball, Brownell would have been gone 5 years ago.
But Ryan, all the things that you're saying are true. But ultimately, I've always said this: your program will be a reflection of what you accept. So Ryan, can we say right now, we're going to stop accepting mediocrity for Clemson basketball? Can we agree on that at this moment?
I agree 100%. If I had anything to do with it, I'd have fired Brownell 5 years ago. I mean, look at a school like Kentucky or even your alma mater, Florida. They have seasons like Clemson have. How long would the coach be there? They would fire their coach mid-season if this was Kentucky, if this was Duke. I mean, I don't know what North Carolina's thinking with Roy Williams. They need to put him out the pasture and do away with him. But, you know, I don't get why the expectation is low, but it's always been low. You know, you go all the way back to the Cliff Ellis days and all of those days where we had decent teams, but the expectation has just always been low at Clemson. And I wish it would change. I love basketball.
Well, let's change it, Ryan. Let's change it. I'm Jerry Maguire. I'm holding up the goldfish, Ryan, and I'm saying, who's coming with me? And Ryan's coming with me. It is time that the expectations change right now. I'm with you, Ryan.
I agree 100% with you, Mark.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate the phone call. Let's get to Aaron, who's up next on the show. Aaron, thanks so much for the call. You're offsides. Happy New Year, Aaron.
Yeah, happy New Year to you guys. Yeah, I'm with you, man. 5 years ago, see, I'm a huge Clemson fan when it comes to football, basketball, baseball, whatever. I'm not one of these fans who I'm a Clemson fan here, but a North Carolina fan in basketball, or Duke fan in basketball, or Florida fan in football.
God bless you, because I hate those people.
Yeah, me too. We're on the same page. But, yeah, I'm with you. 5 years ago, you know, Brownell should have been gone. We didn't do this with Bowden, so why are we doing this with Brownell? I mean, you know, something's got to change because, I mean, you know, we have a great football program, you know, that Dabo has built. I think if we could find the right coach, we could be doing the same thing in basketball.
And here's the proof of that, Aaron. Here's the proof of what you just said. Look at what Gonzaga's built in the middle of freaking nowhere. Okay, in the middle of nowhere, I've heard people say, hey, Mark, it's easy to do that at Florida, even though Florida's a football school. It's easier to do that because you got however many people in the state, 12 million people in the state. South Carolina's only got 5 million people in the state. I think Florida might have 20 million people in the state, actually. South Carolina's only got 5 million people. Well, how about where Gonzaga plays in the middle of freaking nowhere? And look what Coach Mark Few has built there. If you have a culture builder as head coach, you can win anywhere. And you can certainly win anywhere if you're in the ACC. What was Virginia basketball before Tony Bennett got there? Right? You need a coach, you need a culture builder, then you attract guys to the program. What was Florida basketball before Billy Donovan got there? Nothing. An afterthought. Nothing. You found the right coach that attracted elite talent, and then you go from there and you build it, and I am beside myself that both Clemson and South Carolina are settling for this crap. I am.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right. I agree with you 100%.
Aaron, appreciate you, buddy. Thank you so much for the phone call. Check on the text line. Let's see here. Texter says, change team scheduling to 2 years out in college football. Like the idea. Mark, South Carolina has wins over Virginia and Kentucky. That's two signature wins, not one. Yeah, but Virginia's not even in the top 25 anymore. Don't you have to be in the top 25 to have a signature win? Mark, as an SC fan, my worry is with the football program. That's a must. SC basketball-wise, I expect 18-plus wins each and every year. All right, coming up next, how Nick Saban changed the fortune and life of one future Hall of Famer. My name is Mark Ryan. This is Offsides, ESPN Upstate. All right, so this is actually really, really cool. Nick Saban, when he was at Michigan State, spoke to Antonio Gates, the soon-to-be Hall of Fame tight end. And Antonio Gates had told Nick that he wanted to focus more on basketball than football. But Nick was looking forward to how the game was changing with the spread offenses and the need for hybrid tight ends that could really be downfield threats. And Nick had an amazing amount of foresight here. And he said to Antonio Gates, you're a first-round pick. You're what NFL teams are looking for. Antonio Gates said it blindsided me because basketball was my life. And that's what Michigan State coach Nick Saban told him during the recruiting process. Gates ended up not playing college football, then went to the NFL, and all he did was become a top-five tight end in the history of the sports. I thought Julius Peppers of the Panthers could have played tight end in the NFL. He was a pretty darn good basketball player. And Tony Gonzalez was a basketball player at Cal. And what did he become? You know, Lonzo, I feel like we're at the tight end position. We're championing all the current guys and we're forgetting about the past guys. I don't know that Rob Gronkowski is necessarily the best tight end that's ever played. You know, Tony Gonzalez for a while was unstoppable. Travis Kelce, against Houston, the dude was totally unstoppable. I mean, we're seeing that position evolve to really include playmakers. George Kittle of the San Francisco 49ers. Whomever has the better game of those two, Kelce and Kittle, may win the Super Bowl. It's unbelievable. All right, coming up next, it is time for a segment we do each and every day. It is the top five at five right here on Offsides. The show that gives you both sides. The most interactive sports radio show in the upstate of South Carolina, right here on ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.